Brian, thank you for your nice introduction. I want to talk about silicon isotopes this morning. I think it's maybe a little bit unconventional subject in this round. I will start with talking on the global silicon cycle. We have, of course, the parent rock, which is the main global source of silicon. By weathering, going up here, soils are formed, and we lose silicon with the weathering solution and the continental runoff to the oceans, which are the main sink for silicon. We have between soil and organisms, we have a short cycle up here of silicon going up to the trees, for example, and coming back to the soil. But more important, in the ocean, we have the diatoms, which need silicon as a nutrient. And the precipitation of that diatoms is a main global sink for carbon. This was one of the motivations for the research we do. And then there are other processes involved, like, for example, the hydrothermal fluids supplying silicon to the oceans, or transport of silicon by dust, and so on. It's easier like that. The main silicon pools in soil are the primary minerals left over from the weathering. Then we have, of course, secondary minerals formed during weathering. We have dissolved silicon in the soil solution. And we have a biogenic part up here, which are mainly the phytoliths coming back from the plants with the plant litter. There are three stable silicon isotopes. The most abundant one is silicon 28. Then we have silicon 29 and 30. And commonly, when a fractionation of stable isotopes is expressed, those delta values are used down here, which means a ratio is calculated between two stable isotopes and is related to the ratio for a standard for silicon. This is this NBS 28, which is a quartz material. And those delta values commonly are expressed in per mil. There are data available on a variation of silicon isotopes in natural systems. Not very many data, but there are some. The bulk silicate earth normally has a delta value around minus 0.3. And the measurements I have found for crustal igneous rocks very closely resemble this value. So we have not much fractionation of silicon in igneous rocks due to the high temperature processes which are involved when they are formed. When soils and clays are measured, normally lighter signals are found, and in waters, normally heavier signals are found, which support the concept that weathering fractionates silicon, thereby incorporating the light silicon in the solid weathering products and setting the heavy silicon free to the weathering solution. And then there are very many new data on plants in the younger literature, which spread a very wide range from minus 2.5 up to 6. I think there's still much work to be done to understand the processes involved up there. Okay, the instrument we use is a femtosecond laser ablation system on the left side, which is coupled to a multi-collector ICP mass spectrometer. The laser ablates material from solid flat surfaces. The aerosol which is produced is transferred to the mass spectrometer, and the isotopes are measured there. To get a good measurement precision, we need the standard sample bracketing technique shown down there, which means we always measure standard sample, and so on, and relate the signals for the samples to the standards. And by doing this, we can correct for instrumental drift and obtain a measurement precision around 0.3 per mil for delta 30 silicon. Okay, coming to the field, the first catchment I want to show you data from is a catchment built on paragneiss in the southern Black Forest in Germany. we have haplic cambisols on the flat hill crests. You see a picture of the area up here. Then going down the slope, there are chlysols, and at the lower slopes, there are chromic cambisols mixed with these haplic cambisols. And an important point in this catchment is that due to the weathering of an iron-rich parent material, there is much iron transported in the landscape. You can see this from this picture of a small spring, which contains a high amount of iron oxides. And the high content of iron oxides in the, where is it here? Chromic cambisols is also related to this transport process in the landscape. There's more information on this catchment in this paper by Sabine Fiedler down there. Okay, coming to the silicon isotope data, we use different techniques to prepare the samples. We need flat solid surfaces, which means thin sections are a very good sample preparation method. And first, we just collected rock fragments from the soil profile and measured single minerals, single primary minerals within the thin sections of those rock fragments. And you can see we can measure quartz, feldspar, biotite. There are small black boxes, which is the trace of the laser on those minerals. And when we look to the data, we see that they very good resemble the general signal of the bulk silicate earth, with the exception of the biotites, which normally are slightly lighter, which we attribute to the beginning weathering of those biotites. as we wanted to have data for the bulk fine earth, we used a method where we fuse the fine earth powder on a metal strip. We get glass beads, shown up here, and can put them below the laser. And as you see from the black lines here, all the data for the bulk silicate fine earth are very close to the bulk silicate earth, which is most probably due to the fact that even in the fine earth, the primary minerals are the dominant minerals in those relatively young soils. We have an interesting spot up here, which is lighter, and I will comment later on this one. Then we tried to use thin sections from the soil, which is shown up here. And the idea was to separate fine material, those dots, from rock fragments, coarse material, and so on, and thereby finding the signal of the weathering products, of the solid weathering products. You can see that there are slightly lighter signals, but it's not really a significant result for those fine materials. And therefore, we tried another thing. We just separated the clay from the fine soil by a sedimentation procedure, produced pressed pellets from the clay. You can see one here with the traces of the laser on it, and measured the silicon isotopes on those samples. And now you can see that the clays, shown in orange here, and over here, indeed are much lighter in their silicon isotope signature compared to the primary minerals and the bulk fine soil. Another interesting point is that the horizons which have more iron oxides, like this chromic cambisol horizon and also this cambisol horizons, have lighter signals as compared to the horizons depleted in iron, like this chlysol, which can be attributed to the adsorption of silicon to the iron oxides. And there is a recent paper by French colleagues who showed that adsorption of silicon to iron oxides fractionates the silicon isotopes. Last point on this catena. Finally, we separated phytoliths from the organic upper layer and measured the isotopes on those samples. And when you show to the data up here, you can see that those samples are really very light, which is due to the biological processes involved in phytolith production. And the light signal of this bulk topsoil is just due to a mixture of minerals and phytoliths measured in this bulk sample. Okay, to show you shortly some results from the sandstone catchment. And the idea here was that we have an area, we have a coarse parent material, which means we have mainly spodosols, podsols as soil horizons, And there is a work done by Michael Sommer who says that in those catchments there's not only a vertical transport in the soil profiles, but also a horizontal transport in the landscape, which they call lateral pozzolization. We find thick bleached horizons in the upper part of the hills, on the upper part of the hills, and thick accumulation horizons in the lower part. They are rich in iron oxides, and we thought that's an interesting area to study also silicon isotopes. Unfortunately, we have no data on this BS horizon, which is the accumulation horizon until now, so I can't really tell you whether there is lateral pozzolization important for silicon isotope fractionation, but what I can show again is that the clay fraction is lighter as compared to the bulk material and to the primary minerals. Okay, with that I would like to come to sum up and draw some conclusions. We can say that this technique, the femtosecond laser coupled to multi-collector ICP-MS, is a promising tool to study silicon isotopes. Concerning soil processes, I have shown that the total fine soil resembles the silicon signal of primary minerals, but light silicon is enriched in the clay fraction, in iron-rich horizons, and in the phytoliths. And this, again, can conclude it that soil chemical and biological processes fractionate silicon isotopes. That can be seen from the data. Solid matter is enriched in light isotopes, whereas the buffering solution is enriched in the heavy silicon. There are fast processes involved, for example, adsorption, and this leads to the fact that we can observe those processes in young soils. And there are many individual processes which we still can study. With this picture of the traces of our laser, I would like to thank you for your attention. Okay, thank you. Thank you.